This is the Unofficial Vegas Podcast. I am Seb, and the man sitting next to me needs no introduction, unless you've never listened to the podcast, then in that case, he does. Ready the man, how's it going, buddy?
It's going very well, Seb. How are you, my friend?
It seems like I haven't seen you in forever.
You haven't. You've hardly hung out at all.
I know. We played golf, what, once this summer?
Once or twice?
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Now, we haven't uploaded an episode since May.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while, so we're overdue.
Yeah, summer has been insane. Coaching baseball. I only played golf 6 times all summer.
Yeah, but we're getting in the time of year when you typically catch up. Things start to slow down a little bit. School starts to get in the way.
Hockey is now insane. My son has made the AAA team.
Nice.
So it's like, and then my daughter's got all sorts of activities on her end. So I don't even know if I have time. I don't even have time to play poker either. I don't have time to do anything.
What a sad intro.
Sad intro.
So sad.
No, but honestly, we love watching the kids do their activities, but for my own me time, and hanging out, playing golf or playing poker, played poker last week, actually.
Oh, that's right.
First time in forever we were supposed to go. And then you had a fantastic lob ball win.
Yes, that's right.
Thrusting you into the playoffs. And did you play your quarter game or semis?
No, we have an off week this week, and then we play next week in our semi.
The semis.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad. A little something.
You going to win?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, I think this is one of the best teams we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, but it's just a mishmash of just pickups and spares and, bring buddies around. Because, with COVID, we kind of lost the thread of the team. It was the kind regulars, of a semi-fold. Yeah. The normal coach and manager was like, let's... I'm done with this. If you guys want to keep it going, it's on you.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So slowed down. And then post COVID, we managed to scrape together a team, and who knew, but we're actually pretty decent. So
nice.
Yeah. It's not bad. But I said sad, but really Cade making the AAA, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's amazing.
He must be super pumped. Him too.
Yeah. And it's such a insane level of hockey. I'm watching them practice in some of the exhibition games they played during their tryouts. It's nuts at their age, U13.
That's great.
So it's going to be fun to watch this year for sure.
And you said you managed to get and play some poker last week. You said how to go?
I did. I was a little rusty. It's like
Oh really?
Yeah. I found I didn't know when to bet or I was a little tentative on some hands that I should have called and ended up folding or vice versa. Mm-hmm. That's okay. It's like riding a bike. I didn't last too long. I was maybe sat there for 2 hours, but if I would have played a little bit longer, probably would have got back in the swing of things. So
yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's funny. We were talking about how the format, we kind of realized that the format we play in this Pure Poker League is really kind of a satellite format, because basically you're not really playing for a big pot of money. Like the winner only gets like $80 or $100 or something.
Yeah.
What you're really doing is you're trying to qualify for the next level, which is like the monthly and then the quarterly. And then there's some big prizes if you can make it to the gala, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, and I've been reading a little bit about strategy on satellites, and it's actually very, very different than a normal tournament, say, because the ICM implications are so weighted towards just qualifying that you don't really care if you're first, second, or third. All you care about is that you survive past the next guy.
That's right. Yes.
So there's all kinds of weird scenarios that can show up where you have like a really good hand and you're, and this happened actually the last time that I played where we were down to like the final 6 or something. And I had like decent hands, but it went like, limp, call, and then it's on me. And it's like, I have like an ace 10 or something, but I'm down to like 2 blinds. So it's like, I have to fold here and hope that those two guys battle it out.
Yeah.
And one of them is, So you get these kind of weird scenarios where you're actually better off just making an extremely tight fold.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've done that before where, let's say I just went through the blinds and I'm short stacked, but there's a few people at the table that are similar.
Yeah.
And they're how many chips they have. And like, I'm just going to fold here. Even have a decent hand because I'm just trying to outlast them so that I can try to make it a little bit longer to try to qualify.
Yeah.
Essentially that's what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Interesting.
But what I like about the format that we do is you can't really play poker. You start off with 60 blinds, and when the blind goes up, you're down to 30 and then 20. And unless you've raked a few pots, you're basically, after two blinds have gone up, you're almost in shove or fold range. So you're basically allowed one mistake.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're, I don't know, for example, you're on the button and you make a raise, you've got a somewhat decent hand. Let's call it Jack 10 offsuit or Jack 10 suited, whatever. An average hand, a decent hand in position, you know, that could flop fairly well. So you raise and you get called by two people and the flop comes and they both check. Pretty dry board. So what do you do here? You take a stab at, you make a pot size bet. You try, but if they call and you're wrong, that's like almost half your stack is gone. And then you're waiting for a good hand to shove. So it's, you know, when you're playing a deep stack tournament, you can afford to make plays like that and be wrong. And it's okay. You move on to the next hand, but in the format that we play, you can't.
Yeah. But it's just another format of poker. That's all it is. I mean, yes, there's less interesting plays because it's more of an all-in or fold type of game.
That's right. Especially with some of the rebuys, some of the formats that we have, sometimes some places that I go at, they have rebuys for the first few levels. Mm-hmm. People will just shove if they're, let's say they've lost half their stack, their starting stack. They'll just shove because they just want to rebuy. And if they win, they win. If they don't, they don't care.
Yeah. And I saw this a lot at the World Series of Poker. I was following Negreanu's blog, his daily vlog that he was doing on the World Series. And he would have, he'd have these, what to him were small buy-in tournaments, like 1K or 1.5K. And he would play it, he would like late reg these and just show up at this table and wait for the first decent hand, like top 15% of hands or something, and just shove. Just shove his 30, 50 blinds, whatever. You just go well and hope to get called and double up.
No problem.
Yeah, because it's like, he doesn't care about these. He's just trying to
chump change for him.
It's just trying to build a stack and then, you know, hoping that he can double up early and then, you know, coast to like the money and then go for the win and this kind of thing. Now, he ended up having a terrible World Series. I don't know if you were following that or not, but
a little bit. You're telling me that it was really bad.
He ended up like 1.1 in the hole or something. 1.1 million in the hole.
Wow.
Like his biggest win, his biggest cash was like, I think a couple hundred thousand or something like that. But then there was a couple of high rollers at the end for like 1K, 100,000, and he fired two bullets and then not make the money in either one. And just like, oh, well, 200K down the drain. You know, that's it.
Bye-bye.
Incredible.
200K.
Incredible.
Imagine having that much money just to play poker with.
I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But speaking of the World Series in Vegas, you were in Vegas.
Yes. For the first time on this podcast, I can actually say that I've been to Vegas since we started it.
Yes.
We had our first unofficial guide research trip since COVID. So the last one would have been, I guess, summer of 2019.
Was it June?
That we went this year?
Yeah.
It was May. It was early May. Before the World Series started, actually.
Oh, that's so right.
We were in early May. We were there for like 5 or 6 days, I think. Got to see Bob, the author. Got to see Seth, co-author. Great to see them. Got to meet our nightlife reviewer, which was fun. And we stayed at the Vdara, where we've never stayed. We've seen the rooms. We saw the rooms when they first opened that hotel like 12 years ago. And so this time we actually stayed there. Because it was a decent rate, but also because we were just looking for someplace, you know, different and central and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the room was a beautiful panoramic room. So like beautiful view, really cool setup. But I got the feeling that the place had not been updated at all in those 12 years.
Really, eh?
Worn out carpets, like little chips of furniture, you know, missing, needed a paint job. The whole thing needed like to be refreshed quite a bit. So it was...
That's odd.
Kind of disappointed a little bit in that. Because that hotel is like, you know, the Aria is a beautiful hotel, one of the highest rated on the strip.
Is the Vdara owned by the Aria?
It's all MGM. MGM. It's all part of the MGM. It's part of the same.
Not the Aria, but yeah, the same.
Yeah. So the same owner. Yeah. So that was cool because what I would do basically is I'd get up in the morning, I'd go play cash game over at the Aria, which from the Vdara is like, maybe a 5 minute walk. It's nothing. But I really like the Vdara because it's separated and because there's no traffic other than people that are at the Vdara.
Right.
So it's not like you're on the strip in terms of your geographic location, but you don't get that feeling that you're part of the strip.
Right.
The strip is kind of, you know, you got to go over down there to get to the strip.
Right.
So I like that feeling because you go down for your breakfast in the morning. It's like a cat, little coffee shop, a Starbucks, a cafe, whatever. And there's a few people milling about, but that's about it. And then, you know, you go out the front door, you walk down to the area and there's the whole casino and the poker room and everything. And I played a ton of cash games.
Now, we had never played before at the Aria.
I don't think we've ever played. We've seen the poker room. We know where it is. I don't think we've ever sat down and played there.
And how was it?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Solid. It reminds me a lot of like the Bellagio or the other high level poker rooms.
They say that it's the room that has the most sort of technology. Like there's TVs everywhere and there's
lots of TVs. Yeah. Very nice atmosphere. Really good comps. Like most places, I think, are $1 an hour comps. That was the Aria is $2 an hour.
Okay.
So for every hour that you play, you get $2 of food credit or any kind of drink credit or whatever, which in my case was handy. So like by the time I was finished my 4 or 5 days, I had a couple of meals. Like I ordered a meal, like a breakfast for Chantel and I.
Really?
Took it back to the room. Yeah. Like, you know, just for playing cash game. And I didn't really lose any money. I played like 5 or 6 sessions, I guess. You know, win some, lose some. Never won big, never really lost big either. So just kind of, you know, played my normal game. And
Even Steven,
that's what I was. That's right. But next time I go, I want to try the poker rate. So I learned that you can basically call ahead and say, look, I'm going with a buddy and we're going to play poker at the Aria. Give me a poker rate. And what they do is that they'll give you a reduced rate, like say $100 a night or whatever. As long as you agree to play 5 hours combined a day. So that's 2.5 hours each at a cash game, or I think it's only cash games. You can't do tournaments. And then you get the, you know, so basically they're saying, look, we're going to,
this is the hotel that gives you that.
The hotel. Yeah. But they'll all do this. Basically all these poker rooms will do this. If you stay at the hotel, you'll get a bit of a discount. Okay. If you commit to playing,
I've never heard of that,
certain amount of cash games. Yeah. So now it normally wouldn't make sense for me to do that because we typically jump around different hotels and whatnot. Right. But if I know I'm staying in the same place and only going to play there, why not? You know, especially if you got two, like if you and I went,
yeah,
it would make sense because we got two poker players in the room. So it's only a couple, you know, 2.5 hours of playing cash game and then we go play wherever we want, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So be interesting.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. But we got to explore the hotel. I mean, we're very familiar with the Aria, so we know what that's all about. But staying in the Vidara, I was kind of like, I probably wouldn't do it again just because of the room. It was kind of disappointing.
Really? And yeah. The Vidara is rated pretty well in the book.
It's rated high. Yeah. I actually grabbed my unofficial guide to Las Vegas here. Vidara Hotel. 4.5 stars, 95 room rating. Now it was big. It was a huge room. So that's one of the ways that you can get a high rating. And also, I mean, for value, it's not bad. I mean, it's normally in the 200 range. I think we played slightly more than that. I mean, it was quite busy, and we stayed over a weekend, so that's always a little bit more expensive as well.
Now that's an older version of the guide that you have in your hands there.
It's the only one that's in print because we haven't updated it since 2020, right?
Right.
So yeah, the one that is coming out soon, hopefully. I actually just sent my reviews to all the things that we had to review to Seth a couple weeks ago. And so he'll be organizing all of that stuff and putting it into this year's edition. Don't know when it'll come out, but probably sometime in the fall or maybe early in 2023.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, you were very surprised with not the size of the room because you said it was very big, but you were a little bit let down.
Yeah. Like I said, the way I describe it is that it hadn't been updated. Like the furniture that was there was the same as when they opened 12 years ago.
Okay.
And so you can imagine, you know, every week somebody comes in and stays in that room, it's going to get worn out pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
So like every 3 or 4 years, they should be refinishing or refurnishing those rooms, redoing the carpets, that kind of stuff. But it was like very, very worn out, which is why when you look at pricing for the Vidara, it's typically a little bit less than the other hotels in that area. It's always less than the Aria. It's always less than the Bellagio. It's kind of that next tier down, I think, because, well, that's one of the reasons, because it's a little bit outdated in the actual room, but also because it doesn't have a casino. It's a little bit smaller. You know, there's a few other, to some people would be negatives, not to me. I actually like the fact that it's smaller and kind of off the beaten path a little bit.
In some ways, it's probably similar to the Alara.
Yes, across the street, yeah.
Like behind the Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, it probably is. Similar idea, a little boutique-y, small.
No casino.
No casino. Yeah.
No, not really on the strip, just a little bit behind it. You got to walk through Planet Hollywood to get out to the strip, but you got to walk through Aria probably to get to the strip from Vidar anyways.
Yeah, you do. You have to go right through it. Yeah.
So, yeah. Maybe you were like, maybe you hyped it up in your mind, right? That you're going there because we talked so many times that next time we go, we'll go to Vidara,
Yeah.
Balaj USI. I've always said next time I go, I'll stay at the Vidara because it's so well rated and it's not as expensive as the Aria and it's prime location. It's right between Bellagio and the Aria. It's right there.
Yeah. So
why not?
Really like the lobby, really like the selection of little lounges and restaurants in the lobby. Love the location, like the parking situation. Like for us, knowing that we had to go off strip often with our rental car, easy to park there, valets handy. A few other benefits like that. So, I mean, if we went back, I would stay there again. It's not like so bad that you wouldn't stay there. It's no Bally's. Let's put it that way. It's also more than $35 a night. So what do you expect?
Was it pricey when you went?
It was pricey when we went. It was over 200 a night. I think it was like 230, 235 a night.
Plus the resort fee?
Oh, plus the resort fee. Yeah, of course.
Ouch.
Yeah, which is like $40.
Ouch. That's pricey.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We were rolling in almost 300 a night.
I see. To me, you shouldn't be paying that much if you're in Vegas, other than if you're staying at the Bellagio or Caesars, something like that, that, it's got a really big name attached to it. Even the Aria now is up there. The Cosmopolitan, like if you're going to pay that much, and then across the street, you've got, trying to think the Wynn, the Encore.
Oh yeah.
Why am I drawing a blank? The Venetian.
Venetian. Yeah. Palazzo.
If you tell me I spent $300 a night, I would expect that you stayed at some of those places.
Yeah, it's true. I would say it was overpriced based on what we got. It was overpriced. Not a lot. Now we were, to be fair, we were also up against the NFL draft, which was in town. The NFL draft was just finishing and we were coming into town. So like a lot of people, I was actually surprised how many NFL fans actually come to the draft, but especially because it's in Vegas and we're coming to the end of COVID and maybe people, guys are like, hey, let's do our draft parties and stuff and go to Vegas and hang out for a couple of days. So that probably drove up the prices quite a bit because we saw a ton of NFL fans at the poker tables and just around town who were obviously there on guys trips.
Right.
So that's probably one of the reasons why it was more expensive. Also, like I said, we stayed over the weekend, which we don't often do. If you're trying to save money, you wouldn't do that. So for a couple of those reasons, I mean, we picked it because it was one of the cheapest that was still available for that particular week.
Right.
But overall, yeah, overpriced, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, it's probably both. You said the draft, but probably also because of COVID, they're trying to recoup some money maybe. And
definitely
that's more expensive and not just probably Vegas, but just everywhere.
Everything's trying to make up for lost time.
Everybody's trying to make like anywhere I go these days, you want to buy something. It's more expensive than it would have been 3 years ago.
Yeah. There's no deals. It's very hard to find deals now. Some cruise lines, you can get some good deals if you book into the future, cause they want you to commit now. And, they're offering some decent deals, but Vegas is still pretty pricey. I mean, if you wanted to do a little weekend trip now, it's going to cost you more than maybe it would have pre-COVID. And I'm not just talking about obviously inflation and that kind of thing, but no, prices are definitely up. It's harder to find deals, that kind of thing. The World Series was interesting in that regard because it was very, very popular. It was the second most well-attended World Series of poker. And it was for the first time on the Strip, right? If you remember, it was at Bally's in Paris. And so kind of had the two properties. And a lot of people were kind of worried about how that might work. Like, how do you know whether to go to one or the other? And
did they change the name yet? Is it still Bally's or did they change it to Horseshoe?
It's still, I think it's still branded as Bally's. I think they're still in the process of changing over to the new one. I think if you booked it online today, it would still say Bally's.
It's interesting how I remember years ago, I don't know how many years ago, if you wanted to go on a vacation somewhere, you had all these last minute deals.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd book and you'd leave the next day and you'd get cheap, like, you know, $800, $600-$700. You'd get a week somewhere, absolute last minute. And now it's the opposite. If you want a deal, you have to book ahead of time. And if you wait last minute, then you're going to pay the price.
It's funny you mentioned that, because just this week I was talking to Chantel and I said, like, we know that we're probably going to go back to Vegas in early May next year again for the same thing, for next year's research trip. Why don't I just book it now? And so I went online and I could get like a flight, direct flight from Montreal with decent times on Air Canada for like $340 each, which is pretty good. Pretty good deal.
That's pretty good.
But you know, you have to commit now. That's the downside, is that you're paying for it now and you don't get to travel till next May. And you're also at risk of, you know, maybe that's not going to be a good week for you. You don't know, right?
Yeah. Now.
But I thought, man, like, this is something that we have to start thinking about as travelers now, is booking in advance, committing to times in order to save money and to guaranteeing yourself good itineraries. Because that's another problem too, right? If you want to do a last minute, not only is it not cheap, but you're getting red eyes and you're getting late flights there and you're getting last choice of hotel rooms, like all of this kind of thing. Like, it's not good. Like, you need to book as far in advance as you can. And that's, you like you said, that you didn't always used to be the case.
I mean, you'd think, I think it was like that even before COVID though, isn't it? It's not really COVID.
You're right. It kind of was. Yeah.
It was shifting that way. And it probably makes sense because, like you said, they want people to commit to going, and they probably sell more doing that than the last minute.
Yeah. They can always adjust prices at a later date, but they just haven't had to. I think there's enough demand that's just keeping it going. And also, like, one thing that's happening too is that a lot of those last minute deals were generated by the airline companies, who would have lots of flights ready to go, and then they would sell off the remaining seats just because they knew they had to send that plane anyway, right? But now, with one thing that's happened post COVID is that the airlines are short staffed, so they're actually cutting flights. I mean, Air Canada has been in the news a lot for just, you know, you book your flight and it's just like, oh yeah, it's canceled. Like, we're just not going. Like, what do you mean you're not going? It's like, no, we put you on the next day because it's just, there's not enough people. And so, like, rather than flying with 10 people on the plane like they would have before, now they're just saying, no, we're going to cancel that flight and send you on the next one and cram everybody in, right? To save money and to save staff and all that kind of stuff. So those last minute seats are no longer there on the plane either.
Yeah. It happened to my friends. They were going to see the playoffs, the NHL playoffs in Florida.
Oh yeah.
And they had booked a flight, and then sure enough, same thing. The flight got canceled.
Yeah. Probably pretty last minute too.
Yeah.
Like day before.
Like almost the morning of.
Wow.
Like, sorry, your flight's canceled. Like, what do you mean? Like, I have tickets. Like,
you can take the reservation, but you can't hold the reservation.
That's really the important part.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, you're ready to go. Sorry. No, you're not going.
Yeah.
What? But I booked it. But my reservation holds the car here. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. I gotta tell you though, it was fun being in Vegas. Fun being there. It's just like nothing ever happened. It's great. It's great. Very, very few masks. We did see some, but very, very few masks.
And did it feel normal?
Normal as can be.
Ah, that's the best.
Now, the poker room was very quiet. Like, now granted, I was playing in the mornings mostly. I think I played one evening, but very, very quiet around the casinos. The hotel pool, we spent one day at the pool, one half day at the pool, and it was quite busy. Like, by the time we left, most of the chairs were filled up. And of course, it was like early May, so it was prime pool season. It was damn hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, otherwise, like, everything pretty normal. I mean, expensive. I mean, I always find the strip expensive. But the thing that bothers me about the strip is that you can't just go and find a $5 beer somewhere. Like, it's just, you can't do it. It's $19 for a cocktail, and it's, you know, like, you're just paying ridiculous prices.
$19.
I know. So the way that we do our research for the book is that we come up with this big spreadsheet of everything that has to be reviewed on a particular edition of the book. And you just break it up into chunks and you hand them off to different people on the research team and send them out to go check it out, review it, get all the details that you can about it. Sometimes even experience it if it's something that nobody on the team has done before. And we did that a few times on this trip. We did an archery experience, which was kind of cool. But one of the things we had to go do was, if you've seen these surf simulators that they have them on cruise ships. They have them in like some malls and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Planet Hollywood has one. They installed one in their
like Wave Rider or something like that.
Wave Rider. Exactly. Yep. So they've got one in their big pool complex, like on their, on top of their, basically on top of the casino is a big cement pool deck where they have their pool and their lounging area and like ping pong tables and all these things and bars and whatnot. Well, in the one corner, they installed this Wave Rider. So that was on our list to go check out. And so we go and it wasn't like they were getting ready to open it up. It was going to open at noon and we got there like 11:30 or something. And so there was a little pool bar right there. So we thought, oh, I'll just sit down and have a cocktail. I ordered like a rum punch cocktail and Chantel got pina colada or one of these things. And they were pretty big. Like it was like a, you know, a bigger drink. And the guy gives me the bill and he's like, okay, that's $64. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, it's 32 each for the two large drinks. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's one round.
That
it was like, I almost laughed at him. Like, you gotta be kidding. Like, how much booze is in this? Like, there's no way there's $64 worth of booze in these two cups. But they can just,
that's it. That's
whatever they want. Now, on the other hand, we went to Caesar's one day for like a happy hour. We said, okay, let's see if we can find a deal. Like, can you still find deals on the strip for happy hour? And so we went, walked through Caesar's knowing that there was this one Italian place that sometimes has good happy hours. And sure enough, we sat down, got a seat, no problem at like 4 o'clock. And it was like, everything on their happy hour list was like $5. And then they had $5 wine, $5 sangria. And so we just kind of loaded up on like little pizzas and little pasta dishes and little appetizers and drinks. And the whole bill was like $75.
Wow.
So there you are, like you're in Caesar's, you're, you know, your prime location on this strip, 5 o'clock on a Wednesday or whatever it was. And 60. Decent. So like, it's still possible, but man, you got to be careful.
Well, see, how many drinks can you have? You can't.
No, one. That's it.
That's like even one, like $64. Jesus.
But yeah,
you know, you got to leave a tip. Like, let's say you're looking at $70 for two drinks. What the hell?
It's crazy.
No, there's no way. You could go to the convenience store, get yourself a couple of bottles of booze and walk around in the brown paper bag.
We should have. You don't even need the brown paper bag. It's Vegas.
That's, I guess so.
But absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, so we had kind of both experiences. But yeah, it's Vegas is Vegas.
Vegas well, and Vegas. Then you can, that's the one thing I like is you can just sit at a poker table.
And
just have a few drinks and you don't really need to play much either. You can just sit there and fold and, you know, once in a while you cause your blind. It's still cheaper than, like you just said, $64 for two drinks. How long could you sit at a poker table and have how many drinks before it costs you $64?
Oh, well, I spent 5 days and they paid me to have a meal.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's way longer.
So even if you're not like an absolute gamer, you can just sit there and kind of, you know, if you want a few drinks, that's the best way to do it.
It's great until you're sitting at the table with pocket fours and you call on the button. to an under the gun razor and the flop comes king 4-6 or whatever. And I'm like, oh, here we go. He bets out. I call turn is a brick. He bets. I call rivers, another brick. He bets. I raise. He calls. He's got trip kings. I'm like, or a set of kings, set of kings over a set of fours. Everyone at the table is like, oh,
thank you very much. Thanks for playing.
I lost a couple hundred on that one.
Well,
what are you going to do, right? You set him up. You know, it's just like,
it's a perfect flop.
Yeah. He could have done that with ace king. I mean, he probably wouldn't have bet all three streets with ace king, but I'm like, I'm not folding. You know, I probably should have called on the river, not raise, you know, but like these tables are so loose. Like the money's just flying around. So you're
that's
like,
that's right.
I finally got a good hand. No flushes or anything. No straights on the board. I'm like,
yeah, both two guys pairs are going to call. Sets, both flopping sets or odds are low.
Set over set is the worst because you always lose when you have the underset. Almost always. Not much you can do. So I was pretty devastated for like an hour, but then, you know, a couple hands went the other way and I made some money in a couple other sessions. So it is what it is. And I definitely had some Jack and Cokes.
Early in the morning too, eh?
in the morning. Yeah, I probably had a couple. Maybe not super. Actually, what I had was I had like coffee. I ordered like coffees with Bailey's in them and stuff, which was nice.
Can I get your coffee? Yeah. And a Jack and Coke, please. Double, make it a double. Double coffee? No, no, no. And double Jack and Coke. Double,
and hold the coffee. Yeah, so it was fun. It was fun. It was good to be there for sure. We went and did the football stadium too. That was on our list.
Oh yeah.
They offer tours of the stadium. So we did a whole tour and review of that. That was really cool. I could totally imagine people doing going to see a Raiders game in Vegas.
It wasn't there.
They were just, I'm not even sure if they were constructing it at that time. I don't think so. I'm not even sure if the team's move was announced when we were there.
No.
I don't think it was. Yeah. It was all about the Golden Knights, right? That was the big
thing. Right. That's right.
Yeah. How are they going to be this year?
I don't know.
I don't even know who's playing for them.
Just missed the playoffs for the first time. But yeah. I think they'll be okay.
I think they will too.
Yeah.
I think Vegas has got enough locals that go and support the team that they'll be fine.
What are you doing? Hit my face. Why'd you do that? Support the team.
another, that's what's like a third Seinfeld reference. Nice. Yeah.
Why did you paint your chest? Well, you told me not to paint my face. And as you can see, this is not my face.
Ah, oh, putty. Good old putty.
Oh, speaking of putty, when you were, because I know you went to Disney also recently.
Yes, I was there for a conference last month. Yeah.
Did you go as Soren to see putty?
No, we never made it to Soren this trip.
I remember the first time I went and I saw that it was him doing the intro for the ride. And he says, he's got the Mickey ears and he says, I'll just hold, you know,
yeah.
You put this little slot under your seat just for these beauties. And he looks at the guys and he says, the little kid does the seatbelt up and he says, nice job, pal. just because it's putty.
Yeah.
If you hadn't seen Seinfeld, you wouldn't think anything of this intro, this guy, random guy, because I've never really seen him anything else. But when you know with Seinfeld and you see it's him,
yeah,
it's the best. It just adds.
Nice work, pal.
Yeah. Nice work, pal.
That's a good one for sure. Anyway, so when are you going to play poker next? We've only played poker. We've played golf together like once.
Well, now we're signed up for this Survivor.
Oh, yes, the Survivor. Let's go. This is great two-man event in Ottawa region, just outside of Ottawa. 36 holes, four different formats, one for each nine hole. And it's usually like just as the frost is coming to town. Like it's usually a cool, cool morning.
Yeah.
They give you breakfast, lunch, and then a nice meal and a bunch of draw prizes and stuff. It'll be a fun day. I'm glad we got in.
Yeah, because you said it sold out in 20 minutes.
20 minutes it sold out. My buddy, I asked him if he got a spot because he usually plays. And he's like, yeah, better call right now. And it's like, how many people on the waiting list? 30 teams or something on the waiting list? So good call getting in there nice and early.
Well, I was, as soon as it hit 9 o'clock that morning, I was like.
You were on it.
Yeah, I registered.
Nice work. Thank you. It's good work right there.
And it's $190 Canadian. So that's.
Oh, I owe you money.
$380 bucks. And charged up my credit card. And I told my wife I was going to this golf tournament. And then all of a sudden I hear, what the hell? $380. I'm like, whoa. Like, that's not just for me. That's twice. Okay. Like
you're trying to, you're getting the points, right? The travel points.
That's going to be fun. That's but for poker, time. I don't know. Like we were trying to go this week. And then with all the thing that's going on Wednesday, I thought it was going to be good. And then there's like five different things happening that night. Mm-hmm. I have to split myself in three, my wife in two. Like we have to figure out, take one here, one there. So no poker. And then I said, okay, I'll do Thursday. And then you can't Thursday.
Yeah. You should go Thursday anyway, though. I might be able to join you. Well, probably not. It's one of those things where I could probably come for the late game, but then there might not be one. Although there usually is on Thursday.
Always at the brass as always.
That's true.
Because you got some volleyball there, right? Season?
New season? Volleyball season starting up. Yeah, another like COVID boosted event because so many people are like missed out and they want to get back into it. So I'm getting asked by all these teams to come play.
Really?
So I've got a couple nights a week of volleyball coming up, which will be fun. Hmm.
Volleyball. You and your volleyballing.
What's wrong with volleyball? Volleyball's awesome. It's one of the few sports you can still play when you're old like me. Like I couldn't do basketball. Basketball is just way too much cardio.
But yeah.
But volleyball, you can still do it.
You can just stand there and do a set once in a while and hope they don't hit it at you. No.
You know my game.
Don't spike it here. Don't spike it here. Don't spike it. Oh, shit. Try to bump it. You're okay? You're pretty good?
I'm pretty good.
I've never seen you play volleyball. Ever.
Well, why would you?
Well, actually, no. Did you go play beach volleyball at some point with Sesha, with my wife? No. Was there a tournament or something?
No, that wasn't me.
I forget. Anyways.
Does she play?
She got asked to go play with, I think I'd asked you to go, because she got asked to play this tournament just for fun. And they needed players, but you were busy, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, hey, volleyball, then. There you go. That's Fred.
Does she play volleyball indoor?
Not in the league or anything.
Oh, okay. Does she want to?
No.
They're looking for women to come play in this mixed league. I play in Orleans.
Oh, yeah. She might, actually. Oh. I can mention it.
Okay.
We don't have enough on our schedule already.
So well, yeah, let's exactly. Just
tag that on.
So what's going to happen now is that instead of you and I hanging out together, doing poker, I'll hang out with your wife and go play volleyball. You'll be home with the kids.
I'll come here and hang out with Chantal. We'll watch TV.
Bring the dog and the kids. And it's a swap.
Yeah. The old wife swap.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to get together and play some poker and talk some Vegas and plan our next trip, which who knows when that's going to happen. But.
And we talked about this before we started recording the show, is that as much as I was obsessed with poker before, I'm trying to not get myself wrapped up in poker again because I don't have time to actually play it.
Yeah.
So I keep myself interested. I watch it sometimes. I play it on occasion because I knew if I just started again, I'd just dive right in and that'd be it.
Well, I find that I actually, when I take a break, I'm much better when I come back to the table.
That's true.
Certainly online, like, cause I play a lot more online than you do. And if I, like, I'm on like a 3 or 4 week break now where I haven't played anything online.
Yeah.
But when I come back to it, I'll be hyper-focused on what I'm doing and I'll be thinking through spots. But then if I play too much, I get kind of sloppy and just like, oh, I just look for a spot to jam and that's it. And don't really think about it. But
that's right.
I'm a lot more careful when I take a break and come back to it.
Yeah. It's a good way to do it.
Probably is. Probably the best way. Plus it also saves you from losing money.
That's a good thing about our league, right?
Yeah, it's not about the money.
You're not gonna lose your shirt if you.
Of course, it's just for fun and
yeah,
you get to. I always get the text when you go by yourself. I always get the text that night.
Yeah,
it's usually like a long like breakdown of the hand, and this happened, and then it goes here, and I did this, I could have done that, and then we talk it out. I usually play devil's advocate to give you like, well, what if you did this here and that? You're like, no, I can't, and it's fun.
True, right? We kind of go analyze the hands. It's fun though. I like doing that.
Well, that's what the pros do, right? That's what the people that play it a lot do, is that they work it out. They have their little chat groups. It's like, hey, what would you do in this spot? You know, what do the solvers say to do? What's optimal play? And then in this spot, how do I exploit this player? And, you know, that's how you get better at it, I think.
Yeah, even watching the pros, I was watching a hand with Phil Ivey the other day on TV. And I was like, what? Like the way that he played that hand.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And he had pocket aces and he flopped a full house, and the other girl had an ace as well. And the way he played the hand was so smart that it made her call his min raise on the river.
Yeah.
I think he raised about a third of her.
Yeah. She took a stab on the river and he raised it.
He went 3X on her river bet.
Yeah. And it looked very suspicious. Yeah. Like it was a weird line.
I'm like, how do you find the fold there? She had ace queen or something like that. And he had pocket aces. Like, it's so deep. And I went over that hand in my head and I'm like, wow. Like, imagine if I was sitting in that spot, what do I do? I'm watching him like, okay, well, this is Phil Ivey. He's probably just trying to push me off this hand.
Yeah.
But he played it so well that you have to call. Like,
it's the check back on the flop, right? It's that check back on the flop is so polarized.
Yeah.
Because like pocket kings would check that back with the two aces or with the ace on the board.
Yeah.
All kinds of premium hands would check back worried about that ace. Cause a lot of your calling range is aces, right? Random aces.
Yeah.
You know, if he has ace king or something, he's probably betting there. So like the check back is kind of like, oh, it's so polarized. He's either flopped the nuts and you're crushed, or he's flopped some kind of middle hand and he's, you know, trying to bluff you off it. Like you said, just trying to get you to fold a single ace.
Well, the other night when I was playing, I had pocket eights, and the guy to my left was a dealer, And he flips, he starts flipping over the flop and he goes 8-8-6. I got fuck it 8. It was like, thank you very much. Laugh. Merry Christmas, Seb.
Good luck getting paid though.
But I was, there was, it was me and two other people in the hand. So I'm like, okay, well, there's no ace, there's no king on the table.
Yeah.
The odds are of who's them having this? Something. Who's, so I just, they checked and I checked. And then the turn hit, I forget what it was. It was an action card. It was probably a 7, I think. So now there's 6, 7, 8 on board. So it's getting a little wet. There's like, there's two clubs now.
Okay.
Straight draws, you know, it's very straighty, flushy boards. And then the guy, the first guy, he bets. Like, oh yeah, this is great. And the guy folds. So I just call.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And the river came an ace of clubs. So I'm like, okay, perfect. So if this guy has an ace, he called my pre-flop raise with an ace. He's probably going to bet here or something. Or if he's got any of this, he had a flush draw. He's, you know, I had so many opportunities. He checks. I'm like, ah, oh, what do I do? So I bet the pot thinking I was trying to buy it.
Yeah.
Making him think.
Sure.
And he just folded. I'm like, damn it.
Well, it's a good bet though, because he's either checking to call or checking because he's got nothing.
Yeah.
So you might as well bet the pot. Like if you bet a third, he's going to fold anyway.
That's right.
Right. So you might as well bet the pot or even over bet to make it look like you really, you know, you could bet 1.5 or something and try to make it look like you're really stealing it. And he could call with a, you know, pair of tens or something like that.
That's
or,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might've been
interesting.
That was fun. It was fun to play that hand.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That gave me a little poker spark. I'm like, okay, that's fun.
When you flop the nuts like that, the calling is usually the right play anyway, but was any part of your mind thinking, hey, that's what Phil Ivey did when he flopped the nuts. I should do this too.
No, I didn't think of it at all.
Yeah.
And that you're making me think of it now, but no, I'm like, I was just trying to see.
There's just nothing else to do in that spot. Like you're not, what are you going to do? Bet and scare them away.
I'm just going
to
wait for.
You got the maximum. In other words, you probably got the max that you were going to get.
Yeah. Cause he bet the turn. So I got him to bet.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is raise him off of whatever he has there. I mean, you could have maybe raised and got more and thinking that you want to go for it all, you know, or that hoping that he hit. Like if he had the flush draw, would he call if you raise there? Maybe, but you want him to hit the flush and then get all of his chips, right?
You want him to hang himself.
So, yeah.
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 You want him to, I don't know, overbet the pot thinking, okay, well, this guy,
yeah, for sure.
The board is really crappy. He may have ace king. Let me just bet here and get him to fold. And you're sitting there with pocket eights. Oh.
Nice.
Yeah. That gave me a little poker bite.
Cool. Like, very good. Yeah. It's back. Well, you're back. I'm back. The podcast is back. Let's go. Hopefully we'll find some more time to record a couple more. I got a lot more stories from our trip, a lot more things that we reviewed. And so look out for more episodes there. And thanks to all of our listeners that actually sent me a bunch of reviews of the World Series of Poker. We actually have a few listeners that were there and played some poker, some of them for the first time. So I appreciate hearing from you. If you've played and want to give us some feedback about your experience with the World Series of Poker or anything else that you do in Vegas, feel free to do that. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Unofficial Vegas Podcast. Use the hashtag UVP. We will find you there. We also have a new and improved website if you want to check that out. And you can always email us questions to questions@unofficialvegaspodcast.com. Until the next time, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.